We were in Deuteronomy chapter 12. We actually started, and we've already went through 1 through 4, but we're going to read it anyways, because it goes with what we're going to talk about today. Deuteronomy chapter 12, starting in verse 1. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall observe to do in the land which the Lord of God of thy fathers gives you to possess it, all the days you live upon the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains, upon the hills, and under every green tree. And you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And you shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but into the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all the tribes to put his name there, even his habitation shall you seek, and thither shalt thou come. And thither shall you bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your freewill offerings and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. And there shall you eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all that you put your hand unto, you and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. You shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. For you are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God gives you. But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God gives you to inherit, and when he gives you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there, and thither shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows which you vow unto the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters and your men servants and your maid servants and the Levite that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with you. Take heed to yourself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes. There shalt thou offer thy burnt offerings, and there shalt thou do all that I command thee. Notwithstanding, thou mayest kill and eat flesh in all thy gates, whatsoever thy soul lust after, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. The unclean and the clean may eat thereof, as of the roebuck and as of the hart. Only you shall not eat the blood. You shall pour it upon the earth as water. Thou mayest not eat with thy gates, and thy tithe of thy corn, or thy tithe, or of thy wine, or thy oil, or the firstlings of the herd of thy flock, nor any of the vows which thou vowest, nor thy freewill offerings, or heave offerings of thine hand. But thou must eat them before the Lord thy God, in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, thou and thy son, and thy daughter, and thy manservant, and maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates. Thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God in all that thou puttest thy hand unto. Last couple of weeks, we've been learning about the border of the Israelites, where the border is spiritually, and then about destroying the false gods of the people of the land that are under every green tree, every grove, and on every hill, and on every mountain. We have learned all through these past 100 studies in Deuteronomy that the gods are the false gods we make up within ourselves. They are the results of the golden calf of all religion and based on the belief that all men are born with a will free from all influences, that the first man, Adam, was made a free moral agent, free to choose good and evil. This is the foundation of all false doctrine, of all religion that has ever existed. It is the sacrifice of Babylon. And all religions that have ever been or ever will be are daughters of that great harlot. Let's look how we inwardly served our own gods upon high mountains, upon the hills, and under every green tree, and built altars and pillars and groves and built graven images of gods and the names of them. Babylon teaches us that we sacrifice the flesh by stop sinning in and of our own free will. Babylon teaches that we have the power to serve God in and of ourselves. Some religions say that God helps us if we have a true desire to follow him. You know, and obviously that true desire has to come from me. Some religions teach that once you have made a free choice to follow Christ, that he then gives you the power to follow him. Some religions teach that God is up somewhere in space making babies with spiritual wives and then sending them down here to earth to make free will choices to serve him. Others teach that we are God and that there is no God per se, that we are the creators of our own destiny. We know from scripture that the Romans, Babylonians, Egyptians, and so on believed in gods of thunder and gods of rain and gods of wind and gods of water and so on. But if you look closely at your own or my own Babylonian experience, you will see that you and I were no different. We all had many gods upon the mountains and hills and under every green tree. And truth be spoken, there are still things under green trees, on hills and on mountains, because we're still conquering the land. The land has not yet been conquered. We are not yet physically dead. And until this flesh is literally physically gone, we will be battling all them giants in our land and bringing down all of those false idols. We all thought that we had made a mess, a terrible mess of our own lives by bad choices, that by our own free will, we and we alone were responsible for all that we had ever done. And that being the case, if all the evil we had ever done was by our own free will, then all the good was done by our own free will. These are offerings upon the mountains, hills, and under every green tree. These are what we bring to God and expect him to receive of our own hand, as if we had anything to offer him that was not his anyway. 1 Chronicles 29:14. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own hand we give thee. Some will say in their religious heart, David was speaking of building the temple. And I will say, know you not that you are the temple? So nothing I'm bringing him in this verse, nothing that I bring him in my temple comes from me. It says all things come of thee. I'm only giving him back what he wants. When the rocks were hewn in the literal temple, and the trees were cut down for the literal temple, and the logs stripped for their bark, and the notches carved in the wood, the animals killed for the sacrifices. Was not all this done in the temple and for the temple? Yes, it was. Some of it was hard work, some of it violent work, some of it delicate work. Yet it was all done in this one temple, in this one place, where God has chosen to be worshipped by Israel. This one temple and this one city represents the body of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. This is a mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. Galatians 4, 26. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. We, the elect, make up that body of Christ that is here and now, walking the earth, preaching the gospel to draw out those that are the called and chosen from the foundation of the world. There is no other place to worship God the Father but through the body of Jesus Christ. It is through this body does God speak to his lost sheep. And in doing so, the man-child is growing in the belly of his mother, the harlot. When the body of that man-child has reached his full growth, and the time of his judgment has been fulfilled in the process of judgment, that's the symbolic number for 9 months, he will be birthed and all the world will see him. Jesus Christ, the head of that body, will move his body to rule this world for 1,000 symbolic years. Revelation chapter 2, 26 and 27. He that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give over to the nations. Will I give power over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Revelation 12:5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. But we will not be part of that body as long as we think we are free moral agents, able to do good and evil outside the will of God. God shares his glory with no one in creating his creation, in sustaining his creation. This is the point in destroying all the places wherein we serve the gods of our nations. Upon being given eyes to see how all the world is in darkness and in idolatry, we see that God is only served in one city, Jerusalem, and only in one temple in that city, the body of Jesus Christ. We make up the city of Israel, and we make up the body of that city. Israel, in the broader terms, is a type and shadow of the world as a whole, from the first Adam until his last seed is born. From that nation, God is only worshipped in one city of that nation, Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, the city of peace, is the temple where we serve God. We make up that city and that temple. Galatians 4:26, but Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. Revelation 21:2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? And as all Israel played the harlot by worshiping other gods, so the world from the beginning until today worships a myriad of false gods. The elect are called and chosen from the world, from Israel, to serve God in truth. In this truth, we destroy all other gods and offering places. We serve the one and only God through Jesus Christ, and him only do we serve and give glory. I do not contribute my good acts to my free will, for I know that whatever comes from the flesh comes from the creator of those acts. I do not contribute my sin to my free will choices, because I know all things were created by the creator. And without the knowledge of truth and where all things come from, even my so-called good acts are sin. That's the point that we miss. We all have missed that our entire life until you open the truth. Even what I call good is sin, because it's tainted. It's tainted with the fact that I think that I'm doing independent of myself. It's an unbelief, because I'm not believing that God is in control of all things. I don't believe that. I don't believe that he is creator of all things. We often use the term he's in control of all things. In saying that, he's the creator of all things. Everything that's being done is being created literally second by second. He does it. And so to claim any good act of any kind, or even bad act of any kind, it is sin. We may do great things, and we do. We know, there's no doubting that. There are people who do great, great things in the world, help millions and thousands of people. People stand on the corner and give free food and give money. Those are good things. But there's still sin. As long as that person, as long as those people are believing that it's done by their own free will, or even that God had done something in them to make them do it, but they're still doing independent and separate from the creator, and that he himself is not creating that in them and doing it through them, it's still sin. It's still unbelief. In that day, he says, many will come to me and say, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name? You say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And we should know by now that the definition of iniquity is Ezekiel 33:13. It says, if I say the righteous, that he who is righteous, and he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all of his righteousness shall not be remembered. So it's self-righteousness. It's unbelief. So we may do great things and help many people, but if we believe those acts are done of the flesh and by the free moral agency of the flesh, they're sin. Daniel 4:25. They that shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee. All that trial we're going to go through, till thou know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. You are a kingdom. I am a kingdom. We are all kingdoms in our own rights, in our own thoughts and minds. That's what we think we are. Well, God is ruling that kingdom. I'm not ruling. He's the king. He's ruling everybody. He's in charge of all of it. Again, 1 Chronicles 29:14, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee. He didn't just say good things there. That's not what he said. All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. All things come of thee, and everything that I give him has come from him. Good or bad, it doesn't matter. Romans 3:12, they are all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that does good. No, not one. None. There is nobody that does good. No, not one. Romans 7:17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Put those four verses together in one thought. God rules in the kingdom of men. We only give God back what he gives us to give him, because all things come from him. There is no human that has ever lived who has done good in and of himself, because it is no more I that do it, good or evil. I cannot even sin in my own supposed free will agency, because sin is so ingrained in me that it rules me as God had intended it to. Yes, God has from the beginning predestined that the world be ruled by sin. That's a fact. We were all born in sin. We were literally conceived in sin. That every human be conceived in sin. Psalms 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin that my mother conceived me. He has ruled and made it that every human be evil and not capable of doing good independent from God. I lost my place. Yeah, that every human be evil. God himself he's created this. That every human be evil, not capable of doing good independent from God. Romans 3:10-12. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none. From Adam till today, there is none that understands. There is none. From Adam to now, there is none that seeks after God. They were all gone out of the way. They were all together, all in Adam, all human, all the entire Adamic race, all in Adam, they are together become unprofitable. There is none within that whole race from Adam till now that does good. No, not one. You can't get around those verses. You can't. And that only he who is predestined to know the truth will know the truth. Romans 9:16, so that it is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. You and me and all of us that are sitting here this morning, all of us are in the body or in Adam just like everybody else. We are no different from them in the flesh. And more than likely, some of us are probably worse than most people that are in Adam. But that does not stop the fact that God, before the world began, chose me out of that, chose you out of that, to know what we know today. It was not based on good acts that I did. It's not based on because God saw down through the quarters of time that, boy, that Dennis, he's one heck of a guy. That's not the truth. That is not the truth. He did it because he wanted to do it for no other reason. And if that does not humble you down to your face in the dirt to say, I don't deserve nothing, I don't know what will. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has, right now, doing it right now, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has, aorist tense again, right now, doing it, is, was, will be, it's his continual nature, chosen us in him before the foundation world, that we should be, present tense, happening again, holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us, aorist tense, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. God has chosen us. He has predestined us. It is a right now fact to see the truth that we and showed us that we do not, and predestined that we do not serve God as the rest of the creation does. He given us to serve him in truth. The rest of the creation he leaves, and like John, like the one apostle, I don't know where it was, asked about John, and Jesus said, you don't worry about him. I'll take care of him. You worry about yourself. It's the same thing with the rest of the world. When someone tells me, well, who do you think you are that God has chosen you out of the rest of the world? You know, that's not my choice. You know, I'm not saying I'm nobody. I'm saying that I am who I am because he made me who I am. I didn't do it on my own. That we do not serve him under every green tree, on every mountain or hill. No, God has chosen us to serve him in one place, Jerusalem, and in one temple, in that city. That temple is the body of Jesus Christ. Me and you and all of us make up that temple. It is here we bring the sacrifices of thanksgiving to God. Jonah 2:9, but I will sacrifice in thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. When we see that all the gods we worship were false gods, we sacrifice them for the glory of God. He gives us power to destroy those idols by the truth he reveals unto us, and to serve him in truth. To serve him in truth is to give him glory for everything has ever been or ever will be, because he has created it all through Jesus Christ. We eat the sacrifices where it is sacrificed, in the city. We eat the sacrifice by gathering together and sharing the body of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting verse 23. For I have received of the Lord, which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood, in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so that let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation, judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We are come to the holy city, where we are to eat of this bread and drink of this cup. The eating of this bread and the drinking of this cup is the eating of the word of God and the drinking of the word of God. John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The breaking of this bread is the realizing that Christ lives in us. Christ is not up somewhere on a cloud watching us. He's not out somewhere on a rock called heaven. He's right here, right now, inside of us, directing us by his words. And it is through this light we are enlightened that he made everything that is, was, and will be in the world past, in the world now, and the world to come, and all is sustained by him. John 1:2-5. The same was in the beginning, the Word. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything that made that was made. Now listen. He says the same, he's talking about the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That same Word was in the beginning of my life, of your life. All things in my life, in your life, were created by him. And without him, in your life, in my life, was not anything made that was made. In him, we are in him. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. I don't comprehend none of this until he gives me the light to comprehend it, until the time he says, let there be light. Once he says, let there be light, then I begin to see that he's doing all of this. He's creating me. He's creating you. He's creating us into what we are to be, kings and priests during the 1,000-year reign. Once you see that, it begins to give you, you get peace out of it because you, there's no more worry, no more sorrow about things in the past or things in the future. Anxiety begins to leave you because you know he has me in his hand. You know, we have some very good examples in the body, the people that are going through enormous trials, and they just say, it's of the Lord. The truth is that none but the elect can receive because it has been given to them to receive. That's the truth. You can't, there's no way of getting around that. Matthew 13:11, he answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. It is here in this temple we are to sacrifice all that we thought we were, are, and will be to the truth that we were, are, and will be because he has predestined it so, and for no other reason. The world, from the very beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, created them to live out his will to the finest detail. He did not create them and leave them up to chance, or to man's free will, or to gods of thunder, or gods of lightning, or rain, or moon, or stars. No, he created them to bring about his exact plan. In each and every life that has ever lived, he created. This is a temple within the city whereby we are to worship God. This is why we are told today, take heed to yourself, that you offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but in the place, in the singular, in the one place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy out of one of thy tribes, where thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. He is not asking us to do something. He is making a statement of fact. Thou shalt do all that I command, because he has predestined the good works that we should walk in. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Man, if that does not take free will out of your equation, out of anybody's equation, I don't know what will. We're his workmanship. He's the one who made us. He created us in Christ unto good works. And he also did, he also had before ordained that we should even walk in the works that we're walking in. There's no choice. There's no free choice in none of that. This place where we are to worship him is the new Jerusalem from above. You and I and all who came before us and all who will come after us, who are the called of God, make up that beloved city wherein is the temple, Jesus Christ. It is in this temple we eat the bread of his flesh and drink his blood. If we forsake that city and temple and sacrifice to other gods of my free will or free moral agency, we are offering burnt sacrifices under every green tree. We are still in sin and still believing that we are free from all influences. We are still in unbelief. When we come together and eat of this bread unworthily, not discerning that Christ has made all things, and by him all things consist, we bring judgment upon ourselves. This is why we are told to judge ourselves. Do we believe that God made all things for himself through Jesus Christ? Do we really, really believe that all that is in the world, seen and unseen, all the heavens and the host of them, all the powers and principalities, seen and unseen, exist and consist by the power of Christ? That's all. Good and evil is sustained by him and him alone. Because in this area of our lives where we do not believe this, and we all have it, there are areas of our life that we still do not have that as a whole. We are judged and must be crushed by this truth. We all have that areas that we have unbelief in. That's why we're told to judge ourselves. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation, judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. But before we become melancholy and try to muster up the strength to fix the problem, remember that this too is of the Lord. He has created us to doubt. He has created us to sin. He has created us to be what we are for the purpose of creating us into what he has predestined we be. The elect of God, predestined to be kings and priests to Christ during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. It is good for us to be judged now so that we are not judged in the future, second resurrection. We have, we are, and will eat of this bread unworthily in areas of our lives, but for the purpose of cleansing us from all unrighteousness. We are being created peculiar people, special people, from all the people of the world that have ever lived or will live. We are the Christ, the body of Jesus Christ. No higher calling can anyone have. He has called us to remove us from worshiping false gods and false doctrines. He has called us and elected us because he has chosen to do so, and for no other reason. We are not better than anyone else, and probably worse, but that is why he made us this way, so that no one could glory in his presence. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world, the things that are despised, has God chosen. Yeah, and the things that are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. No flesh can ever say that it was because of something they had done is the reason we are who they are. God will not share his glory for making us what we are with no man, not even yourself. We are what we are by the grace of God, and thank God for it. These truths will be tested and tried the more we learn them. These truths will be made a part of our very being by the trials and fire we will endure. We must walk through the fire of Hades now so that we escape the fire of Gehenna later in the second resurrection. Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If we walk through the fire of Hades now, we will not live in the fire of Gehenna later. Pray the Lord allows us to remember the last two verses of our study today, because these last two verses summarizes all that we have went over today. Not to lean to our own understanding and not to see yourself as a free-willed moral agent separate from the creator of all things and the sustainer of all things, good and evil, because that would be burning offerings under every green tree, upon every hill and upon every mountain we think we are. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 17 and 18. That thou mayest not eat within thy gates. That's a statement to say, don't eat what you think's yours. Don't give yourself glory for anything that you do. That thou mayest not eat within your gates of thy tithe of corn, or thy wine, or thine oil, or the firstling of the herds, or the flocks, or any, nor any of thy vows which thou vowest, nor thy freewill offerings or heave offerings of thine hand. But thou must eat them before the Lord thy God, in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. That place is Jesus Christ. That's where we eat them. It has to be ate before him. And eating it is giving God all glory for all things. Thou and thy son and thy daughters, thy manservants, thy maidservants, and the Levite that is in thy gates, and thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God in all that thou puttest thy hands into. No matter where God leads us, no matter what the things that we suffer or have to go through, in all, it says, that you put your hands to. Praise God for it. So the subject of the whole thing about today is that to learn again, it's always the same thought. It's a struggle between the old man and the new man all the way down through it. And the old man wants to sacrifice under every green tree, upon every hill, and upon every mountain, because he wants to glorify himself. But that's not, God's teaching us not to do that. He's recreating us. He's not teaching us not to do it. We're being recreated into that man-child that just, he's being taught from birth not to do that. So thank you very much. I hope you all got something out of it. I've seen John.